Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday, I hope, at about the same time. My partner, Mark Tobin, is AWOL. We're going to put out a warrant for him, I would assume. Where in the world are you, Tobin? Are you on the phone here with me?
I am. I'm sitting down here in my kitchen down at Lake of the Ozarks, looking at a bunch of shad swimming across the cove. I mean, it was just a little bit ago, half hour ago, it was just completely solid. I mean, you could walk on them. It was just completely covered. And now that the sun's starting to come up, they're just starting to go down a little bit. But it looked like the shad population is very healthy down here at Lake of the Ozarks.
Well, how's the fishing been down there?
Well, I got down just early enough to get out for a little while. And from what I heard, I talked to a couple of my buddies down here that fish a lot, and they have not been doing very good. But they were running water, and I think they're doing that in the evenings. And when they do that, there's a few places that I know along bluffs, and there was a lot of current. And when you have a situation like that, there's areas where the current will go on the outside of a little bitty pocket and create an eddy or a slack water area.
Mm-hmm.
And shad are not strong swimmers, and they'll get in those kind of areas. And when they get in those kind of areas, then other fish will follow, and that's what they were doing. And we only got to fish for about, maybe a half an hour. And then I started having some issues with my boat, unfortunately. I haven't been down here in a while, and my boat hadn't run. I don't know if I've got some water in the fuel or what's going on, but had a very difficult time getting it started. Once I did, I thought, I'd better get back over to the house in case I have a problem, because I didn't have my trolling motor charged or anything. But anyway, caught a bunch of white bass and had about a five-pound hybrid, had over 20 white bass just right off the bat. And it was just one specific area. It was that little eddy, little slack water area right there along the bluff. The shad were getting out of the current, and the white bass just stacked in there, and caught a couple of crappie. And I was using a jigging spoon.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think if we may have our a guest on next week, Vic Gertley with Double W Lures, Fish Tech Lures. The spoon is called a Double W. Great spoon. It's a rear weighted spoon, and it has a very erratic action. And anyway, caught a couple of crappie on those, and quite a few white bass. So it was a great evening. Came down here, unfortunately, to work. My sons came down last week and opened up the door to our cabin, and about a third of our roof had collapsed. Not the roof, but ceiling tiles. But it doesn't look like major damage. It doesn't look like the roof's going to need to be replaced. But unfortunately, came down here to do some cleanup. But that being said, I get distracted real easy.
Yeah, I'll bet. I knew that would happen to you. As soon as you look out there and saw some white bass breaking the surface, you throw down that hammer and get in that boat. I knew what was going to happen. You ain't
kidding
me.
That's right. Yep, but I did. That's exactly what happened. I saw a white bass surface. And, well, the cleanup can wait.
Hey, one thing I want to talk to you real quick about. I'm getting reports out of Kansas that it's just absolutely Melford, Stockton, Stockton, but man, I'm getting some good fishing reports. You hear anything out of Kansas?
Yeah, I'm telling you what. Talking to Vic Early once again, he lives out there right at Junction City, and he said that they are catching hybrids by, this is a quote from him, by the truckload.
Yeah.
And they have increased the size limit or the limit to 5 hybrids from 2. And he's kind of concerned about that. The conservation department or the parks department is doing this, the biologist wants to make Milford a world-class blue cat fishery. And I kind of thought it was already at that point, but he wants to reduce the amount of hybrids in the lake to have a better habitat for sustaining giant blue cats, and he wants to see people be able to catch 100-pound-plus blue cats out of that lake. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm not so sure that I'm crazy about this idea. I love hybrids so much, and I think anybody, you know, you don't have to be an expert fisherman to go out there and catch a hybrid. Now, on the other hand, to catch a big blue cat, you got to do some things that, you know, a novice angler might not be able to do. And that, number one, first and foremost, is getting bait. And that can be a problem for a novice.
Sure.
And so I don't know who they're really trying to cater to on this deal. But I think if you wanted to appeal more to the masses, I would think do what you're doing. Keep the hybrid stocked in there. You know, the whole problem with hybrids is it's a sterile fish, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And the populations are only sustainable through stocking. And so I don't know. I'm kind of up in the air on whether or not I think this is a good idea. But because, and that's my bias toward the, you know, I love hybrids, and I know you do too. But
sure.
So I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen. But I'm going to have, in the next week or two, we'll have Vic Ertley on and talk a little bit more in depth about it.
Well, I've got the answer for that.
You and me.
We'll take that biologist out and jack slap him. I mean, my God, what's the matter with that guy? What's he thinking about?
I know it.
What the hell's going on with him? That's crazy.
Well, I think so, too.
I mean, a hybrid is the ultimate fish in the Midwest to catch. It's more fun than you can have with your clothes on. And here you are trying to pee it up. You know, I mean, my goodness. Leave it alone.
How many people are going to be able to, you know, get the equipment, get the bait to go out and get a big fish like that? I mean,
yeah.
I just don't understand the logic. And I was reading again. This is an article from, I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. It was written by a guy out of the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. And they referred to blue cat as an invasive species. And he was he does not like the fact. He said they were stocked 40 years ago foolishly into the Chesapeake Bay, and they've completely decimated the blue crab fishery there. And he's just livid about the fact that they're in there. And there's literally millions of them now. They are very well established. And I think it was, again, when this article was written 3 or 4 years ago, they had taken over 400,000 pounds of blue cat out and didn't even scratch the population. So it's kind of weird. But I know you are a closet blue cat lover.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I'll tell you about that someday when we're in private, but I can't tell you on the air here, you know. I'll tell you what, these biologists, you know, we've had a lot of them on the radio show over the years, but it seems like they do a lot of make work. And,
and this is experimenting is what it is.
Yeah, don't mess with this. That's a great blue cat fishery the way it is, and it's a great hybrid fishery. Leave it alone.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't think they ought to be experimenting with it.
I don't know. I'd
hate to see that. You know, the hybrid fishing is so good. I would just hate to see that change.
Yeah. Hey, fishing tournament, of course, today kicks off at St. Joe. My good friend Trevin Reed up in St. Joe has so kindly donated or offered up, let's put it this way, if you catch 225 pounds of blue cat tonight and weigh them in at 10 o'clock tomorrow, it's going to give you a Silverado pickup. I imagine it's valued at a $65,000 truck. It'd kind of come in handy around the ranch. But the city of St. Joe, which I'm so proud of them, offered up another $10,000.
Wow.
So first place, about $12,000.
Nice.
That come in handy. And,
yeah.
and a new Silverado pickup. And you can still get in, ladies and gentlemen. The tournament officially kicks off at 7 p.m. this evening. It's a night tournament. But you could probably be at the boat ramp at about 4 o'clock there by the casino in St. Joseph off 229. And for you late entry guys, it's $175 a boat. But you might as well win. They might as well take the money, $12,000. You're a good blue cat fisherman, what this tournament will end up being. You might as well go take the money. So $12,000 and a Silverado pickup kind of come in handy, wouldn't it, Mark?
Boy, and the pickup, oh, yeah, I'm all over that.
Yeah, you know. You know, I got to thinking about this more and more and more. And Trevin, I was with Trevin a little bit yesterday and talked to him on the phone line last night. He wants someone to win this, and he's serious, and he means it. And this is the second year it's offered up the Silverado pickup. Well, they changed the rules, so it's attainable. 225
right.
pounds, you know, there were some, I think, 70, 80-pound blue cat turned in last year at this tournament. So, you know, if you'd happen to get in a school of those, you and your partner, 225 pounds is not out of reach.
Nope.
And, you know, it was so nice of him to do that. And, you know, that whole Chevrolet store up there and those whole people, and they now own the Dodge dealership in St. Joe also. You know, and once you're not a customer anymore. Once you go in there, you're a member of their family.
That's
and
right.
I got to tell you what I saw yesterday. Yesterday they had a little kind of an award banquet on the showroom floor for their employees. I just happened to stumble in there. And they were feeding them and giving them prizes and all this stuff. And I thought, you know, everywhere I ever worked, somebody seemed like they wanted to fire me. Not that it wasn't justifiable. But here, they treat their employees so good up there. It's just absolutely amazing. And if you're a customer, they treat you the same way.
Yeah.
I've never been around anybody like this, and it's so cool. It's a breath of fresh air. So if you're in a Dodge, you need a Dodge, or if you need a Chevrolet or Jeep or whatever, these guys are the people to do business with. I'm just kind of talking out of text here, but I just love this family and this whole thing that they put together, and this tournament's the icing on the cake. Trevin's such a good duck hunter, too. He could probably take a calling lesson now and then, but, you know, what the hey, you know. But he's a really good waterfowler and a good outdoor enthusiast. I had a question the other day about a rifle, and I talked to him, walked in there and talked to him. He knew exactly what I was talking about.
Wow.
The sectional density, the velocities. He just impresses me every time I talk to him. He's a great guy. That whole family's great people. So,
yeah,
anyway.
Mark Jr., he bought a truck from them about a year and a half ago now, and it was just such a great experience. They talk about the no commission sales staff, and it's just such a pleasant experience.
Yeah, great people.
Yeah, they don't have any pressure on them to make a sale, so really they just let you. The hardest thing is just picking out the vehicle that you want. That's the hardest thing of buying a vehicle there.
So
what a great experience. They are just a great bunch of people up there.
They'll make you giggle while you're buying a
vehicle. We talk for 2.5 hours about fishing.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, speaking of fishing on the weir, is it any good?
Early and late, and only when they're running, when they're generating water. But there is the fishing on Truman is spectacular right now. The crappie fishing is out of sight. There's a lot of surface activity with whites and occasional hybrids. Seems like they're catching them 10 foot down, anywhere from 10 foot of water to 30 foot of water. But out on the main lake mostly. So get out on flats out on the main lake and still. You know, talking to Richard Bowling, minnows are better, and they're going through a ton of them. They're going through some little fish, but not having any problem getting limits of big fish, too. So it's just, the worst thing right now is just dealing with the weather. This weather has just been absolutely brutal. They're biting early and late, but I think they bite fine during the middle of the day, but just nobody wants to be out there. You know, these 90, almost 100-degree days and very little wind, that's tough. That is not much fun.
Well, allegedly,
that's the biggest challenge right now is just dealing with the weather. If you get out there, you're going to catch some fish.
Allegedly, there's supposed to be some days in the 80s coming up next week.
Yes,
so
that sounds wonderful. I cannot wait for fall.
Oh boy, the season. I got my millet planted up at the duck club the other day, and it rained on it last night. I'm giddy. I mean,
really,
this is really, really cool. So,
wow.
We actually had a little. I don't know how much, but it don't take much for millet to take off, but boy, I got her all on, and I'm just giddy to get this thing going. Them teal fly by, and it ought to be an exhilarating experience this year.
It'll be here before you know it. That's a sure sign that fall is on the way.
Ted Hatfield is here in the studio with us, and we're going to talk about his shotgun and the Hatfield shotgun line, and we're going to talk about all kinds of shotguns. He doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to pick his brain what's left of it, and we're going to talk about that for a little bit. So I'm kind of pumped up and motivated. I got pictures of his guns here in front of me. And they're what we would say would be orgasmic.
You would, yes.
And then,
you did.
Then we're going to talk about the Flyaway Technology guns. I've got pictures of those, and I don't have the actual. I wish we just brought the guns in the studio, but boy, that would cause, no, wouldn't, yeah, might cause major panic, I don't know, in this neighborhood. So what the hey. Hey, we got to take a little bit of a break, ladies and gentlemen. If you just happen to be joining us, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm your host, Fred Ramsey. My partner in crime, who's generally in the studio, is down the lake working on his cabin, but I know darn good and well that's a farce, because just as soon as he sees the white bass facing the shad, he'll throw the hammer down, away he'll go.
You're right.
So, well, I don't blame you. I'm jealous. I'm real, real jealous of you. So, anyway, we got to take a little bit of a break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm your host, Fred Ramsey. In the studio with us is Ted Hatfield, AWOL. Down at the lake is my partner, Mark Tobin. We are brought to you by Highway Trailer Sales, my good friend, Terry Lee. You know, it's not going to be long before the harvest will start. There'll be somebody cutting some corn around the area here in, 60 days or less. If you've got a grain trailer that's in need of disrepair, maybe got bearings, brakes, whatever you need worked on, lights, these are the people. They're the nicest humans you'll ever do business with. They also have 10 bay service area up there. Again, it's called Highway Trailer Sales. For you guys dragging around that 18-wheeler, dragging that trailer around, these are the people you do business with. They're located real simply up here at 1850 Southern Road here in Kansas City, Missouri, just off 435, kind of west of Worlds of Fun, if that helps you out anyway. But again, a telephone number would consist of an 816 area code, 769-3658. That's 769-3658. Go by, see Terry. I'll bet you become friends. And he's just that kind of guy. And that whole people up there, they just bend over backwards to help you. They're going to service you. They're going to do whatever it takes to make you happy to be a customer. So again, Highway Trailer Sales, my good friend Terry Lee, the nicest guy to walk upright. Well, maybe the second nicest guy. I kind of like Bud Walton when I used to hang around with Bud. He was a good guy. I liked him a lot. He's an old fighter pilot. Did you know that, Ted?
I didn't know that.
Anyway, Terry Lee, Highway Trailer Sales up here in, on 1850 Southern Road. Mark
Fred,
Tobin.
Before you get going, I wonder how many people understand or know what you're talking about when you say in need of disrepair.
I doubt it. That's an old...
Peter Sellers.
Peter Sellers, in need of disrepair. Yeah, your phone is in need of disrepair.
Yes.
What the hey?
Love Peter Sellers.
Yeah. I get to giggling. Every time I call Mark through the week, we have a routine we do about Peter Sellers before we start the conversation.
Yes.
And people
Fred is the oldest, sweetest, salty sea dog of sailing the seven seas, you know.
And when people are standing around me, when they hear in the conversation, they go, "You've finally gone, Ramsey. You've been pushed off the edge on the deal."
Yeah.
I wish you were here, Mark. I know that you had a little bit of a problem down there, and you got to be down there, but I just enjoy it when Ted comes in the studio.
Oh, Ted is great. I'm so sorry I'm not there to see him. He's one of my favorite people.
You know, the last time we had him, I think it was March maybe, he was on here with us, and he walked out the door. I think he was doing a flying lesson at that time or something. He bought a little small airplane, and I thought, as I was going back down the road, I said, well, that'll be the last time I've ever seen Hatfield alive, upright. I'll have to see him in the box.
You never know with what he does.
Have you ever wrecked this airplane yet?
Not yet. I've tried a couple of times, but in fact, I finally got my wife on board.
Wow.
I figured I was going to have to take a handful of Valium and some duct tape to get her in there, you know. But... you know, every time she'd get around that plane, the hair would raise on her back,
yeah,
and she'd growl, you know.
Don't blame her.
Yeah, well, I told her, I said, look, you're either going to have to get aboard or you're going to sit at home, because I'm going.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got some rancher buddies around the country, and we just want to go. I just want to go knock around and drop in on people who probably don't want to see me.
Yeah, that's all right.
You know, but
it's okay.
I'm going to show up anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, this plane, I mean, it'll get up to speeds exceeding 100 miles an hour,
ooh,
believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah. And I can go 3 hours before I have to sit down and put gas in.
Can you fly it up to Duck Lake one day?
Oh, yeah.
We got a strip not too far away.
Oh, it's got those big balloon tires on it. They say with this airplane, if it had claws, it could land on a fence post.
Yeah. So, yeah. What is this?
It's an old Piper Pacer.
Oh, boy.
You know, it's like a Piper Super Cub, only it'll hold four people.
Now, is this like the Tri-Pacer?
They made it with three you know, with with a conventional gill. This is like a Piper Cub. It's got the big balloon tires and the wheel clear back there on the rear end of it.
So it's a tail dragger.
Tail dragger, yeah.
So you ground loop it.
Oh, yeah, they're squirreling.
Oh,
you know?
I know a lot about that. Now,
yeah.
That's a scary moment.
Well, yeah.
And you easy to do.
Oh, yeah. You know, as they say with tail dragger pilots, there are those that have ground looped and those that will ground loop. You know?
And you got your wife into that?
I did. In fact, my buddy, she wouldn't fly with me. She flew with my buddy, who's a instructor and all, and he slid her right into
the left seat
and said, okay, here's the yoke, there's the throttle, these are the rudders, you know, and gave her first lesson and taxied down the runway. She ground looped it.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, well, you got that out of the way, you know, so now.
You know. But, you know, ground looping, it sounds like you can't do it, but it's so simple.
Oh, God, yeah.
A little bit of crosswind.
What my buddy Harvey said, he said, this is like trying to drive a tricycle 60 miles an hour backwards.
Yeah.
Gotta get away from you, you know.
Other than that, how much longer do you figure you'll be alive before you wreck this thing?
Oh, well.
Who knows?
Really, you know, if I break my toy, you know, so much for that. But, you know, gotta have it, you know.
Oh, gosh darn.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, boy. I flew in one of those Super Cubs up in Alaska one time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Man, talk about a religious experience, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of bad when your pilot's going, oh, shoot.
Yeah. God, I hate it when that happens. Yeah, when I lived up there in Alaska, I had a buddy of mine had a Super Cub. And, boy, we went in some really tight places. And I said, have you ever crashed this plane? He goes, oh, no. He said, oh, I've nosed it over a couple of times. I've been crashing.
It's not bad.
Really. Very reassuring, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you, you know, I've known you now for 40 years.
Maybe longer.
Maybe longer.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe even longer. Maybe 50 years.
Oh, I'm sure it's 50.
Yeah, probably
anyway,
50 because,
yeah.
I'm old.
Yeah.
You're the only one who stayed young
in
this whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, your dad had the sporting goods stores on Frederick Avenue forever. And first brother Tim. How is brother Tim?
He is over in northern Spain in Pamplona at the Running of the Bulls.
Good human. My kind of guy.
He's too old, too fat, and too slow to be doing that anymore.
Yeah.
But he's too big a target out there, I think. But he makes it over there about every year, and so he's at the festival.
Yeah, he's made it a lot of years, hasn't he? You've made it a lot of years, haven't you?
Well, I go every once in a while to remind myself why I don't do that kind of crap anymore. But he makes it every year and has for about the past 45 years, I think.
Wow.
Why would a seemingly intelligent person do that?
Well, like I said, Mark, you do that every once in a while to remind yourself why you don't do that kind of thing anymore, you know?
It's crazy.
And I think it's really tougher on your liver over there.
You know? Well, I did see somebody on the news that get gored and they, in the belly button or something and jerked his guts out and they had to take him somewhere.
God.
Well, they pick up your guts, put them back in, and sew you up, you know, and put the antibiotics and going home type thing. But every once in a while somebody gets adios over there.
They get it every once in a while, you know.
It's not for the faint of heart.
No, I the first time I went over there, I left on crutches. But, you know, when I came back from the hospital on crutches, all these I was a young man, and all these young little girls, you know, swooped down on me, and hell, it was worth it.
Yeah.
You know, I've done it again.
Right.
Oh, man. Hey, your boat is sicky-poo. You going to take it over to our buddy Joe?
I am. And, you know, he's told me the number one problem that they have over there, the Sportsman's Outfitter and Marine I'm talking about, Dave Hemme, he's the head mechanic over there. Said the number one problem that they have with boats is fuel related, and it's with we've got all of the ethanol in our fuel now, and it's gas stations don't have to advertise the fact that that's what's in it, and that's where we have problems. And he said just make sure to keep some stable in it or one of the fuel treatments. And of course, I didn't I don't think I had the last. I haven't been down here in about a month and a half. So I didn't, and I've got a feeling that's what it is. Once I get it started, it runs all right, but I'm just having a hard time getting it started. So, you know, it's just that kind of a typical thing. And if anybody out there listening, if you've had any problems with your boat, if you haven't, rest assured you will. I mean, that's why they call it a boat, bust out another 1,000.
Exactly.
But people to take it to get it fixed is Sportsman's Outfit and Marine. They'll take care of you, get you in and out of there quick. Just a great service staff, just a good bunch of people out there. And one of the best things, one of my favorite things of going out there is just walking into the showroom and smelling those new boats. You know, it's kind of like new car smell. It just smells so good in there. I love it. But you go out there and see those good folks out there, Joe Falco and all the gang out there. They're just the best bunch of guys. Sportsman's Outfit and Marine out in Belton.
You're sick. You need counseling. Yeah, that's why you have woman in a leather dress. You like the smell. It makes make you smell like a new car.
I did not say that. That was you.
You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We got to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. You're one of my three listeners. I'm so proud that you're up and listening to us this morning. You're still not room temperature. You're good little taxpayers. You're doing fine in the road of life. So in the studio with me, Ted Hatfield. We're going to talk about guns. Mark is AWOL. He's down the lake. I look for the phone to go dead over there any second at the lake. You look out the window, see a school of white bass.
If I see that, it's adios.
Adios on a deal, so what the hey. Ted, we were talking, you know, I want to talk about your Hatfield Shotgun Company. You know, they're in Walmart at $249 a piece, and on Saturday night we used to spill that kind of money, you know, on the deal. And every once in a while you see them for $199. I own two of them, which I had to pay full retail. I don't mind telling you.
Okay. Yeah, the Walmart, they told me they're running them now at $198, and they're going to be that way clear through the hunting season.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Wow.
I mean, you know, and you know what? I've got two of them, and they function.
Yeah. That's the good part. They actually work.
They actually work. And, you know, not much recoil off of them. They're fantastic. What is the design of this shotgun? I mean,
you know, I wish I could take credit for everything, but I can't.
Go ahead.
Honestly,
we don't have no listeners. Go ahead.
why they work so well is this isn't like a standard gas-operated shotgun. It has a gas piston, but that gas piston, an action arm, just kicked the bolt rearward. It's not dragging all the bolt carriage and everything, so you got a lot less friction. So it'll shoot, you know, those limp-wristed, you know, 2 3/4 that you get from someplace like Walmart, clear on up to 3-inch magnums. They'll shoot anything.
Don't care.
No.
It doesn't discriminate.
No.
Have you got any warranty on this gun?
Absolutely. I think we have a 2-year warranty. You know how it is, Fred. Yeah. If somebody's got a broken gun, you're going to fix it.
Sure.
You know. But what we do, it's a little bit better than others, is if somebody has a problem with the gun, they get a hold of us, and we send a call tag and have that thing picked up, brought back. They don't have to do anything.
Wow.
The UPS guy shows up and takes it from them. We fix it, and our policy is we'll repair it, replace it, or refund your money.
That's pretty simple. The three R's.
Yeah. And that they don't have anything to argue about, you know, so.
Now let's talk about this rationally, because here you are at the SHOT Show. You're showing this gun. It's retailing for $199 at Walmart. I assume you're not getting Christmas cards from Remington. You're not from Beretta or Benelli. I assume that they think you are just a no good SOB.
I hope so. I mean, you know, I've been working on it. Yeah, I think my name's taken in vain.
Quite often
by these guys. And we do, you know, we work on a pretty slim margin, and so is Walmart.
Uh-huh.
But we broadened that line, and now we're getting it into retail stores all over the country. You know, so if you don't normally shop at Walmart, you can go to a retail store, because we make over and under shotguns and, you know, all different kinds of guns, you know, shotguns. And so, you know, we want to be every place with that.
Well, this is $199 gun.
Uh-huh.
Screw in chokes.
Yeah, it's got it's walnut stock, walnut 4N, that's checkered, 3 ventilated rib, of course, and 3 screw-in chokes that come standard with it. It comes standard with the trigger lock, you know, to keep it out of the hands of kids.
Yeah.
So No, it's the full deal.
It's the full deal and the full mill deal. And will it cycle in? I mean, if I throw in a 2 3/4 and a 3-inch, it's going to
right one behind the other. Anything you want to do, it'll digest.
I'll be darned.
Well, now we do have. It does come with two pistons. In that, if you don't want this thing to beat you to death shooting 3-inch magnums, you put in the high brass piston for the thing. You know, but the fact of the matter is, with the piston that comes in, you can shoot whatever. You know, but. Wow. Yeah, it's a good gun.
Oh yeah,
we get a good reputation.
Now the other thing that everybody talks to me about a lot, not everybody, a lot of people talk to me about $99 410.
Yeah, you know the old 410 like we grew up with.
Sure,
that's a hammer gun. Uh-huh. We make those in not only 410 but 20 and 12 gauge. We've got those at Walmart also, and but we went beyond that a little bit. You know This has a transfer bar, which you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
In that the trigger has to be held back when the hammer falls, or it won't go off. So
safety.
Can't drop it and make it go off. But we also put a cross bolt safety in it too. So if you're training a kid,
wow.
He gets used to cocking the gun and then having to push that safety off. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
And I like the way it breaks down.
Yeah,
it'll
fold completely in half.
So if you want to throw it under the pickup truck, you know, there's a lot of farmers that every once in a while run into a coyote out in the pasture or whatever and would like to have a gun. For $99, how could you go wrong?
We're actually, when you talk about that, we're making a new model this year. We haven't even got it on the market yet. But it's got a 20-inch barrel so that when it folds down, it's even with the buttstock.
Wow.
And it comes in a little padded case that's got shell loops in there to put in 3 shells and a little zipper bag to put tools or whatever else in to throw under the pickup truck.
Like a shaving kit almost.
Gun or whatever, you know, backpacker stuff.
Huh.
You know, but, you know, that's might as well do it up.
I want that gun and a 6-inch rib on the top of it. I really do.
Well, actually, other than the 410, the 20 and the 12 gauge come with it. They have a ventilated rib. You know, on the standard gun. You know.
I mean, I want one of them ungodly. Remember, you used to go to them trap shoots, and those guys would show up with these big ribs on top of the guns, you know?
Yeah.
And I go, wow. And then I tried to shoot them, but couldn't shoot them, but they look cool.
Oh, yeah. Look good. Yeah.
I've got a very fond spot in my heart for 410s. That's what I, of course, learned to shoot on. And my dad took me out goose hunting. And I shot my first goose with a 410, and it turned out to be over a 20-pound bird. It was huge, and I broke its wing, and it flew and flew, and I got out of the blind and chased this thing. I must have had to run a mile and a half to get that bird, but I was so full of adrenaline. It was just such a memorable, fantastic experience, but love that old 410. What a great gun to get kids started.
Tobin, you couldn't make 100 yards anymore.
No. I could have a hard time getting out of the blind.
I would love to watch that, try to see you go a mile and a half to go after a goose, and especially in gumbo.
I know.
Really, really
miserable.
Cool.
Yeah, I couldn't do it now. Nope. I guess that's why they invented dogs.
Is that where that came from?
Yeah.
Every dog I have, we usually go about 100 yards and just quit on you. Say, that's enough. It ain't out here. They're going to come back, you know. So, what the hey. Also, you know, we had the guys on. You were gone. You were AWOL, Ted. And we talked about Flyway Technologies here at Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. My business partners and nephews, yeah.
I tell you what. I've been doing this a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether what the stars or the planets or whatever was hooked up that morning, but I got feedback off that show for 3-4 weeks off of that thing. Tell us a little bit about Flyway Technologies.
Well, the shotguns we do there, we're doing in a little factory over in Turkey. And I, of course, lived over there for 8 years, Fred. And this guy is a friend of mine. It's a little place, and they're really very conscious about quality. They really do good stuff. And this is an inertia drive gun, similar to a Benelli.
Uh-huh.
But what we've done is we've got a big, long, extended magazine tube that comes standard with this. So for spring snow goose, that type of thing,
sure.
You know, you can get out there in a whole 10 rounds. And they are just a good working hell for stout gun. You know, it's a synthetic stock, and fore end, and it's just tough to tear up. But they're really hitting it hard.
You know, before we go much farther in this, and I want to stop for just a second here, Benelli and Beretta has their place. They're a good quality manufactured shotgun.
They are.
I mean, I can't argue about it at all. They cycle good. They keep the resale exceptionally well. I mean, they're everything you're looking for in a shotgun. And then you guys come up with, again, a gun. What's your suggested retail of that equivalent gun, I would call it?
You know, real world price. I think the retail on this is like $699 or whatever. And real world price at stores are going for about
$599.
Wow.
And the thing is, you know, a Benelli now, Beretta, they're almost $2,000. So, you know, not everybody's got $2,000 to spend on a shotgun.
Yeah, and it's that niche you're falling in. Mm-hmm. It's not to degrade their product. That is not, you know.
No, I mean, they're excellent. They're excellent
products. And that's not the point of the thing. Because I had a couple of dealers that talked to me about the last time he was on about, you know, degrading their product. And I said, no. That was the farthest thing from my mind. And it was the farthest thing from Ted's mind they make a wonderful, wonderful products. But, you know, there's time things change in the outdoor world especially. On this deal, so.
Well, you know, like I said, not everybody's got a couple of $1,000 to spend
exactly.
on one. Now, if you do, you know, go out there and buy a Benelli. I used to work for them. They make really good guns. But our guns work really well, and where we've hit the niche and the popularity is because a lot of the professional goose guides and outfitters buy and shoot our gun because they work. And you've got that big, long, extended magazine tube where you can get 10 rounds in there.
Yeah. Now, is it available? I mean, were these guns, the dealers around got these guns? Or?
They do.
Okay.
We've got them mainly in, like, duck clubs and whatever else that sell guns and whatever all over the country. But they are finding themselves to the good retail stores.
What's the merit of this gun? Well, and I got a picture hang up here, and we're on the radio. This is called the Typhoon F-12. This is a space-looking gun, and that's what I like about it on this deal.
It looks like and functions like an AR-15, you know, and it's got that look for it, but it's a 12-gauge shotgun.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a, you know, the mere sight of it will make women scream and small children cry.
So,
I cried when I saw it. I know that.
So
me.
It's a high quality gun. It comes with a standard with a 5-round magazine. You can get a 2-round magazine, take it hunting, or you can get a 10-round magazine that
goes
all the way to the floor.
Yeah.
It's so long. So, it's, you know, we're getting a lot of response on that. In fact, the other day, the boys are down there packing stuff, and Bo Jackson came in. And he was doing something with the Kansas City Royals here.
Yeah.
And Bo came in and ordered about a dozen of them for his friends.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, no, that's really went over big. We can't get enough of them.
Well, this is a shotgun that looks, when you pick this up, the first thing I thought from a distance was this was an AR-15 type style, but it's a shotgun.
It's a shotgun, but it really does kind of function and look like an AR-15, except it has a charging handle on the bolt. Rather than that funny thing, you know, they have on the AR-15.
Yeah.
And we did something the other day, Fred, that's kind of neat that I've got to bring up and we'll play with this. We made a ventilated rib for that stands up, that attaches to the Picatinny rail, and I'm going to take it out there and see how well I can do on skeet. You know, if you can shoot, wing shoot this thing. There's no reason you can't hunt ducks with it.
Well, you know, we were talking off the air, and Mark, I'm not trying to leave you out of the conversation. I'm just giggling here, but we were talking off the air. It's probably time, as you said, everybody's looked down the barrel of a shotgun for generations, and now the new generation's coming up, and they've got the AR-15 style, and maybe this is where a shotgun.
I don't know. We're going to find out. You're not going to convert a couple of old guys like us.
Yeah.
But keep in mind that military rifles clear up through into Vietnam had a walnut stock and a conventional style rifle stock, etc. until the AR-15 came along. Now they all look that way, and everything's gone that way. Even bolt-action rifles are looking more like that. Well, shotguns, if you can wing shoot this with this rib on here, why won't it go that way? If you're a young guy, you'd probably go, well, that's a pretty cool gun. Yeah. And if you can go out and hunt ducks with it and your friends don't laugh at you,
Exactly.
You've got something there. So we're going to try it.
Well, this is pretty cool. Now, this F-12 that you got out, Typhoon F-12, has that got screw-in chokes?
Yeah, it does. It comes standard with 3 screw-in chokes. It comes with, I think, 3 magazines, sling, and even the flip-up tactical sights on there.
Wow. Oh. Well, I don't know. I don't know where it's headed. You know, I it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you scratch your head. You know, and old guys like me, and Tobin, he's wore out. But those older guys, I mean, it's going to be, I'll never probably ever convert to this. Although I would like to take one to the Snow Goose Field one time because I'd like that long tube and really get after, long clip. I mean, that'd be kind of interesting.
Well, we're going to have a chance this year, Fred. You know, we'll get up there and shoot them and see what we can do. Might be fun.
I think.
Hey, Ted, is there a picture of these anywhere on the internet? Do they have a website?
Yeah, it's smallarmstechnologies.com, and then we've got another website that's the flywaystechnology.com. Yeah. And I think we've got it on both of them there,
cool.
Where people can see what they look like.
Yeah, I keep harking back to the flyway technology, the white gun, I call it.
Yeah.
for us snow goosers.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And, and then here it is basically a Kansas City company. That's what I like about it, too, the deal. So, I don't know. You guys are going to take this business by storm, I would think.
Well, we're a little outfit when it comes to that. Now, of course, with the Hatfield line, I mean, we're pretty big. But this is kind of specialty. I mean, if you want to go shoot snow geese and you want a good working shotgun that's already white camouflage and holds 10 rounds, that's it.
Okay, now I want to kind of talk to you because I've always been able to talk to you and you tell it like it is. Mm-hmm. And where's the industry headed? I mean, there's so many anti-gun people out here right now that are so livid about owning a gun and your rights. Remington has been sued out of oblivion. You know, they $985 million worth of litigation or whatever it is. Man, I tell you what, it's weird times in America as far as your Second Amendment rights, don't you agree?
Yes, and people like the anti-gunners are very verbal about it. However, keep in mind, Fred, that this year, like last year and the year before, are setting new records on gun sales. So when you and I were growing up at our sporting goods store up there, I used to keep track of how many guns were sold nationally, and it was like 6-7 million guns. This year, I think it's going to be 27 million guns that are sold in America.
Wow.
So there's plenty of guys out there, and a lot of people like to go hunting, and a lot of people like to go shooting. Now, we grew up with little sporting goods stores where there wasn't much in there except the local guys hanging out. But you go into these stores now, like Frontier Justice here in Kansas City, and it's got a coffee bar. It's got an entire range. You can rent a machine gun if you want to shoot it and shoot it on their range. So it's a different deal. You know, it's a whole new market out there.
Yeah. Well, it's very near and dear to my heart. You know, when you come after me, we did some stuff here a few months ago in regards to the rights to keep and bear arms.
Right.
And I got hate mail. And I got people called me and made me mad.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a hard time adjusting to it. I called Mark on several occasions on the thing. I was too mad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very near and dear spot in my heart. You know, I'm not going to go rob a liquor store.
No.
I'm not driving down the avenue shooting at anybody. I'm not there. I'm a law-abiding citizen, and all I want is my constitutional rights. And, man, I'll tell you what, people are not happy about me or us type guys that own guns.
You know, we're not the problem. And if you pass more legislation, it just regulates folks like us.
Yeah.
Because those criminals, they don't pay any attention to law anyway.
No, they don't care.
And the thing is, the laws that are on the books, like if they stop someone in downtown Kansas City at night and they've got a loaded pistol on them, they're up to no good. You know, if they haven't got a concealed carry permit and all that kind of stuff, they're up there trying to do some crime.
Yeah.
That ought to be a really big crime. They really ought to throw the book at them. And they don't.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe they just need to enforce these laws that are already on the books.
Existing laws.
Yep. Right.
And a deal. So, I don't know. I love this industry, and I'm scared about it.
Yeah. You know, I just don't know. Yeah.
Well,
it is
kind of
spooky. You know,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we came. I don't think people realize how close we came to losing an awful lot of our rights. You know.
You know, people don't understand. But when I went to Central High School in St. Joseph, Missouri, my sophomore year, they issued me an M1. We had every kid in the school had an M1 rifle because we had to take ROTC. And we used to take them apart, put them together. We had to go to class, and then march around with them.
Yeah.
And so there were probably 500 M1 rifles, you know, in the school. In fact, we had a shooting range in school. I used to shoot on the rifle team there.
Well, when I went to school up in beautiful Oregon, you brought a gun in, didn't walk down the hall with it because you're going to take it over shop and have it refinished.
Yeah, right. You know, redo the wood or whatever.
Redo the wood.
Wow. Yeah.
And you didn't even think about any violence issues, you know. It was your old squirrel gun, and you had some nicks in it, so you're going to take over shop and have it refinished.
Mm.
And, you know, it's such different times.
It is. You know, we didn't think about any of that at that time.
Yeah.
Of course, nobody would do the crimes that, the horrible crimes
violence,
you're doing today.
The violence. Ted, thank you for coming over.
Thanks for having me.
It was just fun, and we giggled. Don't ground loop that airplane, please.
I worry Try
about,
not to.
I worry about
Try
you in that
to.
Airplane.
Right.
Hey, we're brought to you by King City Lumber Company. If you guys need an outbuilding, maybe a cabin in the woods or a hay barn or a machine shed or whatever, you can smell around on an awful lot of places, and you can get these fly-by-night pole barn builder guys. But if you want quality and workmanship with true craftsmen, it's King City Lumber out of King City, Missouri. KingCityLumber.com. You go to their website, you'll probably spend 20, 30, 40 minutes on their website. And if you don't see what you like, they can help you design it, and they will come and talk to you. They are fantastic humans. I can't say enough about Marty and Monty Tunks. They're just good people. 660-535-4337 up in King City, Missouri. KingCityLumber.com. And I mean that from my heart. Mark, what are you rest of the day? What's going on?
Well, clean up down here at the cabin, and I just got to turn away from the lake and just not look, because that is easily distracting me. But I do hear some white bastard calling my name.
I know what's going to happen. I know exactly.
You may have to come down next week to do the cleanup.
Yeah. Within an hour of this, you'll be out there after doing the darn thing, you know. But, you know, every time I looked around at all the fishing reports this week, I don't care if you were in Truman or Lake the Ozarks or Kansas, it was pretty darn good reports.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Chat Martin, our guide extraordinaire in Kansas, and, yeah, he's just catching tons of crappie. Catfishing is unbelievably good, the blue catfishing. Yeah, have you heard how many people are going to be in that tournament?
131 as of yesterday boats, so I'd imagine there would be 150 boats pretty close to it, I'd think, on the deal.
Well, I wish I wasn't down here. I'd love to go see that weigh-in. And anybody that's got some kids and has a little time tomorrow, I ought to go watch that weigh-in. What time does that weigh-in start?
4 o'clock, I believe it is, or no, is that right? 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock,
10 o'clock
in the morning, yeah.
Sunday morning?
Yeah, and it's something to see. It's unbelievable. So.
You know, Trevin has given that pickup away. That's only a 45-pound average on 5 fish.
Yeah, it's very doable.
Yeah.
Very, very, very doable. So what the hey. I hope, you know, and I know Trevin. I talked to him in great detail yesterday. He's hoping somebody wins it.
That would just be great.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Absolutely fantastic. Ted, thank you again for coming by. Look at the Hatfield Gun Company, guys. Walmart, $199.
$198,
excuse me. Take another buck off that thing. But, man, what a gun for the money. There's no doubt about it.
Well, thank you,
I'm
Fred.
I'm proud of you.
Mark.
I've known Ted for a lot of years. I'm very proud of this guy. Tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. I got to go for this week. The next time I see you, I hope I see you in the great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.